You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, a resource to help you take control of your health. We offer a balanced, objective analysis of all your health, wellness, and aging options, both conventional and alternative. Now you can take your engagement to the next level by joining FullScript. FullScript is my online dispensing platform that only offers curated, professional-grade supplement brands that I know and trust. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com for more information and to start your free FullScript account. Buying through FullScript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA compliant and offers world-class support. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals, including my custom targeted protocols that combine the products I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. It's all at DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's edition of Intelligent Medicine. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. And Layla and I are answering your questions. Questions come to questions@drhoffman.net. And if you want to appear on our radio program, even via a recording, you can call 877-726-8255, 877-726-8255 to record a question. But today, it's all about questions@drhoffman.net, so let's hear one.
We've got one from Bonnie. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, my 41-year-old stepson recently visited a naturopathic clinic here in Anchorage. I was encouraged to take a genetic test that would evaluate his risk for pancreatic cancer since his mother passed from this form of cancer when she was 61. He's 41. Okay. Do you recommend any specific genetic test for this type of screening that you know to be reliable? I have read that mutations in the BRCA2 gene and Lynch syndrome are risk factors, but my first thought was, if the test shows he's at risk, what dietary or lifestyle changes can he make now? It seems that unless a path forward is offered, the information only creates anxiety.
Well, that's a very good point, is that, a test is only as good as the course of action that it invokes.
Yeah.
And
if there is a course of action.
So that's actually a controversy about the so-called Alzheimer's test. There is an Alzheimer's gene, the APOE4 gene, for example. So there are other tests where action can be undertaken that's preventative. So, you take a pap smear and you have an abnormal pap smear, you can do observation and you can do, cryoablation and you can, ultimately prevent pancreatic cancer. When it comes to pancreatic cancer, this is in its infancy, and there's going to be more and more of this, that you can't evaluate one's genetic risk. It's kind of like the BRCA test, which is the breast cancer test. The problem is that only about 10, maybe 20%, as much as 20% of certain cancers are genetic, and the rest are not.
Yes.
And the other thing is, when you have a test that's positive, there's no certainty. And we actually had a case like that recently. We had a young man. He's 38 years old.
Yes.
And he came in and he was, the guy looked like a moose. I mean, he was so strong looking. He's like a bodybuilder, terrific shape. He was like co-owner of a gym.
Yeah.
And he said, but I'm not feeling that good. He said, I'm feeling a little tired. I'm not lifting as much as I used to. Mm-hmm. I said, well, maybe he needs some vitamins. Maybe you're eating too much fast food. So let's get you on a good diet. And, oh, by the way, let me just do a blood test just to make sure there's nothing wrong. Well, did the blood test like, whoa, the guy's anemic. What's going on? I said, before we start putting you on a bunch of vitamins, you got to go to a GI because you might
find
have gastrointestinal blood loss. Well, sure enough, you wouldn't suspect it. 38-year-old guy.
No.
He had colon cancer. So he's colon cancer. They remove the cancer. So he's fine. There's no cancer left. Then he takes a test for Lynch syndrome.
Yes.
Which is the one of the hereditary conditions that does not 100% cause colon cancer.
But it's a lot of polyps.
Polyps, which can go cancerous.
Yeah.
And it is hereditary. It's a family-based thing. And, usually you see somebody in the family tree. He said he didn't know anybody in his family who had it. So now they want to take out his whole colon preventively. It's a little bit of like that Angelina Jolie thing.
Yes.
You know, so, but it,
you know, so he had a dilemma. You know, he said, there's not 100% you're going to get colon cancer, but there's a high percentage. You can eliminate that by having your colon taken out, but then you got to wear, you know, colostomy bag. And, you know, so it was a tough choice.
Yeah.
And, you know, was there, could I put him on a terrific diet program? And I said, you know, if you don't want to have a colectomy, we can work with you on the most aggressive preventive strategies
yes.
to the extent possible, because it's not entirely a merit system.
Right.
So what do we know? We know that, you know, certain foods are protective, certain supplements may be protective,
yeah.
certain foods may aggravate the risk.
Mm-hmm.
There's even some suggestion that taking an aspirin a day could be preventive, you know, things like that. So calcium, vitamin D, you know, some stuff on that too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, then you're left with a choice. Now, when it comes to pancreatic cancer, it's less well known what precisely you can do to prevent pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
It appears that it has something to do with insulin resistance. Overweight people are higher risk.
Yeah.
But it's also, we see colon cancer people who are metabolically pretty normal. I mean, did I say colon?
Yes,
pancreatic cancer. So, you know, then the question becomes, you know, what's the value of the test? Well, the value of the test, I think, is to inform him if he's high risk. But then it can, you know, we also have to find out if the people are psychologically capable of taking in that information. Because some people, it just devastates them. There has to be very good informed consent when people undertake these tests. Because it's like...
It's like, do you want to know how you're going to die? the circumstances under which you're going to die. No.
I mean, if there was like best fortune teller in the world, if you tell me the day and the means by which I'm going to die.
A big HVAC system is going to fall on your head and you're going to die. So the rest of your life, you're just going to be going, looking up or never walking into buildings with ceiling tiles or whatever. It's ridiculous.
Speaking of which, your husband should make sure he fastens that HVAC, because
it's outside. It's outside. We're residential.
He's
Okay. Okay. Yeah, the ductwork doesn't weigh anything. It's okay.
I mean, it's interesting you would take that analogy, I think that's where it's at.
And yeah.
So do I recommend that? These tests are in their infancy. There is a MyRisk hereditary cancer test.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a pancreatic cancer hereditary test. For relatives of people who have familial pancreatic cancer, you know, what's the action plan?
What's the action plan? And if there is no action plan.
Because you can't take your pancreas out.
No, that's it. That's over. But if unless there is a way forward, as Bonnie says, really, and. For some, I guess, very rare cancers or something like that, maybe there isn't a nutritional answer or anything.
But what it does do, though, is, and the other problem is pancreatic cancer. Let's say that it says, okay, you're at higher risk of pancreatic cancer, so we're going to screen you every year. We're going to do... not necessarily invasive. But we do a CT PET on you. Well, it's a little invasive. It's radiation, you know, and it's a nuisance, but... Let's say we're going to find the cancer at its earliest inception. The problem with that cancer, unlike other cancers like colon cancer, prostate cancer, is that even early cases can be fatal. Now, it's a little better to discover it early.
Yeah.
But it's one of those cancers for which we don't have very effective early treatments. Surgical treatment is not definitive often. And people go on to, you know, have a low rate of survival.
Yeah.
So... That kind of has to go into the equation. So there is no real answer. It takes a certain amount of counseling, I think. I would sit with, an oncologist and discuss it.
Yeah. This genetic testing is really taking off for this.
Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of money involved.
Yeah.
I just... Read the one of the top billionaires, you know, is it Musk? Is it Bezos? You know, one of those, or Gates, is very involved in investing in these kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
you know, which seems like a boon to mankind, but, you know, it drives the commercialization of something that
it does.
Is not, maybe not ready for prime time.
Right. I think the the caveat, a CT PET every year, that's a lot of radiation over what period of time, and what role do the radiation play in causing any other kind of cancer? What do we do? I mean, I had a friend of a friend with lymphoma whose oncologist told her, no more dental x-rays unless absolutely necessary. And on that advice to her, stopped having dental x-rays.
It kind of goes back to, if you look at a lot of medieval painting, there's often you see these weird things like these people are having a meal or they're in some pastoral setting, and then there's a skull or there's a skeleton there. And what that's called in painting, it's allegorical, it's the memento mm-hmm. mori, which is the reminder of mortality.
Huh.
And it's not designed to scare you, like your whole life you should be afraid of death. It's like, celebrate life.
Yeah.
Celebrate life because life is transient.
Yes.
And that's how they coped with it then. It wasn't like, oh my God, what am I going to die from? It was like, it was like death is inevitable. Yeah. And unfortunately in those days, it came early and in unexpected ways. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't much you could do about it. But it was an invitation to live life to the fullest.
Yeah. We're here for a good time, not a long time. Somebody said. Yep. Bonnie,
Is that a song lyric?
No, it's a quote.
Okay.
I believe from somebody.
Okay.
I don't remember who.
Okay.
Bonnie, thank you for this very, very thoughtful question about this. Yeah.
It's a whole issue, And then it there's even people have written overdiagnosis and overtesting books, the subject of, that we are testing too much and that we then it involves.
The message is be afraid.
Yep.
Be afraid of your body. Be afraid.
Right.
Not a great message. Not a great way to live.
It's also a gateway to sometimes unnecessary medical interventions.
Yeah.
Like a stress test that's abnormal is like pretty soon you're on the operating table for a stent or a bypass.
Yeah.
Which. In retrospect analysis may relieve pain if you're having angina, but if you're asymptomatic, it may not extend your life at all.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these interventions, it's like, don't just stand there, do something. You do something and it's not material to the most important outcome, which is, are you going to live longer?
Yeah. Yeah. There.
Good point to allow one of our sponsors this opportunity to share a message with you. So here goes. Whether you're a nutrition enthusiast or simply an individual looking to improve your well-being, check out this comprehensive new course from the American Nutrition Association, Getting Started with Personalized Nutrition. It's a self-paced one-hour course with video, reference sheets, and more, all with the goal of helping you harness the power of personalized nutrition. You'll learn how to optimize your energy levels, support your mental clarity, improve your GI function, enhance your physical performance, and maintain your metabolic health. The course is regularly $49, but as an Intelligent Medicine listener, you can get access to this vital content for just $29. Just go to the ANA.org/Hoffman. That's the ANA.org/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman29 for the exclusive discount. The ANA believes personalized nutrition holds the greatest potential to solve the chronic disease epidemic. Just go to the ANA.org/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman29 for the Harness the Power of Personalized Nutrition course.
Thanks for listening. And now back to our questions.
We have an email from Paul. Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I had some abdominal surgery in August. How can I minimize any scarring? There are a couple of laparoscopic markings. Any supplements, foods, creams, lasers, anything that
I
can do?
Laser sometimes used. It works better on people with dark skin than light skin. And mm-hmm. people with dark skin are more likely to have scars. Certain African tribes and I think Aboriginal tribes also use scarification as a form of bodily decoration.
Yeah.
Because they really are scar formers. They cut themselves a certain way and put some irritant substance in there to raise the scar. We want the opposite. Lasers can be helpful. There's some medications that have been suggested,
Bromelain.
Bromelain.
Yeah.
There's also a product called Mederma, which we say apply afterwards. I think it's an extract of onion, which has some healing properties, anti-scarification properties. So,
those are the things to do. But I think right after a surgery, starting, as long as you're cleared that you're not bleeding excessively, start taking some bromelain for a couple of months or so.
What, because it's proteolytic or something like that?
So how can I minimize it? Right. So
I actually had... The plastic surgeons do use that.
Yeah.
But plastic surgeons... The product that is of interest is the Wobenzyme, which does is bromelain based, but it also contains some what would ordinarily be some digestive enzymes.
Yeah. Some years ago, I had a big cyst removed from my back, which had previously been removed by two dermatologists over a period of 25 years, came back both times.
It does, yeah.
I said, I'm not going to a dermatologist anymore. I went to a plastic surgeon.
Right.
Removed, gone. Right. I mean, gone. Even the scar, everything gone. And he told me to take bromelain for a period of time afterwards.
Okay. So they're hip to that. Yeah.
Has nothing's there. It's been years.
Okay. All right.
So
testimonial.
Okay. Yeah. Paul, thank you for that question. Let's see. This is from Lorraine. Hello, Dr. Hoffman. I have dry mouth, low saliva levels, loss of taste for sweets. A loss of taste for sweets is desirable. And my dentist And my dentist noticed I have more plaque on my teeth. What treatments can I use to restore?
Like a dry mouth, kind of a xerostomia is the word for it.
Yeah.
And it occurs with aging. It occurs with diseases that affect the salivary glands, like scleroderma, and Sjogren's syndrome. Also occurs with people who've had radiation to the neck and head because of... oral cancer.
Yeah.
So.
And Lorraine, the dentist noticed you have more plaque on your teeth.
That happens.
Due to the less saliva. The saliva has lysozymes,
right,
which helps to break down bacteria,
and
maybe
plaque.
Some of the tartar.
So there's a product that I like. It's called Rain. It's a moisturizer for the mouth made by the company that makes Clear. So XLEAR.com, Clear.com. And I don't see it that many stores, but you can order it online from XLEAR.com.
Okay, so from Clear.com.
And it's got xylitol, which is antibacterial.
Nice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be great for your dental health. That can help prevent cavities.
Okay. Right.
Lorraine, thank you for that. But yes, do get a workup, maybe.
Then nobody knows what she has.
Or something. He just says low saliva, which is interesting. All right. If you're dehydrated, if you're not taking in enough fluids, that's another reason for low saliva.
I get aware of that sometimes, is that I get a little bit of kind of a dry feeling in my mouth, like a raspy feeling in my throat. And then I realize that I'm, down a quart or so, and I just, it's a sign that I need to hydrate.
Yeah.
It happens a lot when I'm in the office. And then
it's a very dry atmosphere.
I don't get up to drink that much.
Yeah.
When I'm home, it's like I've got all these different drinks and I'm working at home, but in the office.
In the office, not so much. And it's always quite dry
in
here, which is comfortable, but We've got a question from Barbara. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Love your show. Been listening for years. I've had restless leg syndrome for about the past 5 years, but it's gotten worse in the past year. I was taking generic Zoloft for less than a year, but then I discontinued it. I have paroxysmal atrial fibrillation.
Did that cause withdrawal of SSRIs can sometimes cause twitching and jerking of the extremities.
Yeah.
But usually that goes away.
Yeah. I have paroxysmal atrial fibrillation.
I don't think that's necessarily related.
Yeah. Take metoprolol. Been taking that for 15 years. Had an ablation, that helped, but I occasionally go...
It's all incidental information.
Could metoprolol be causing...
I don't think so, necessarily.
Yeah.
Restless leg syndrome responds sometimes to magnesium, but not always.
Iron?
Iron deficiency could be a problem, so make sure that there's adequate iron.
Yeah.
Your ferritin should be at least 50, 60, 70 to actually overcome restless leg syndrome. And many times doctors will say, it's 20, that's fine, That's not good enough. And then I just read a paper on pycnogenol for restless leg syndrome. Yeah. It may help a little bit. There's some information about folic acid for restless leg syndrome.
Yes.
There's also, for really bad restless leg syndrome, you can use, there's these dopaminergic medications that are used for Parkinson's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use a patch or you can take oral medication. I guess a natural way of boosting that would be to take Mucuna. Mucuna is actually a source of L-DOPA. And they actually did an article which they thought was like alarming. It was like in medical news is that certain supplements contain active L-DOPA. And it's like, hey, that's good news. They really do work.
Yeah.
And they mentioned Mucuna.
Yeah.
Mucuna pruriens, which is an Ayurvedic remedy that's been used for these kinds of things. And, if you have Parkinson's disease, don't take Mucuna because, you're going to get medications that's so much more powerful. But if you want to try something natural before going on actual Parkinson's medicine for restless legs, it might be worth a trial of Mucuna.
Glutathione?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
How are we? Yeah.
Okay. All right. Barbara, best of luck to you. Let's see here. Oh, wasn't there also...
I think we have time for one more. Yeah.
It's okay. Speaking of dopamine deficiency, this is from Petra.
Right.
I've been diagnosed with a chemical imbalance of my brain.
Well, for sure. Hold on.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. There's a couple things about that.
Mm.
One is that recently the whole theory of chemical imbalance of the brain has been challenged.
Yes.
Because they said that when they look at people who are depressed, they cannot find signs of it.
Uh-huh.
When they look at a functional MRI and like the most exacting new techniques for locating neurotransmitters, they don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see that. So this is the whole theory that underlies, guys, take the Prozac, take the Zoloft, you'll fix your chemical imbalance. Don't worry about, your abusive husband, your tyrannical boss, the political system in which, you are like in the Matrix.
Yes.
Don't worry about
your blue pill.
The racism, oppression, economic circumstances. Just, you have a chemical imbalance.
You have a chemical imbalance.
We'll fix it. Because better living through chemistry. So anyway. So, and the other thing about that is that for a while, we used to test people on this theory that we used to check their urine for like serotonin.
Right,
or
the neurotransmitter.
Dopamine, the neurotransmitter. And we would even look, you could check it in the urine, you could check in the blood, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Where it counts is in the brain. And your kidneys make a lot of that stuff. So the fact that you have too much or too little dopamine, serotonin, or its metabolites in your urine does not necessarily mean there's a chemical imbalance in your brain.
Huh.
So there's an imprecision about that diagnosis. She says, I've been diagnosed. She's believes it because the doctor told her.
Yeah. Well, they put her on Zyprexa, and she's scared.
Well, Zyprexa is a very powerful antipsychotic.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Why is it put...
I don't know what her history is. I mean, she may be in the throes of a really serious mental disorder for them to put her on Zyprexa.
Yeah.
Problem with Zyprexa also causes weight gain, insulin resistance.
So many of them do. They cause diabetes.
Right.
The antipsychotics.
So I don't know what to tell this person because I'm not participating in her care.
Yeah.
But I will say this, and you can attest to it, is that diet does matter.
Absolutely.
And they have studies where they put schizophrenic patients on a ketogenic diet, and they had substantial improvements.
Yeah.
Which is complete reverse of what they feed people in mental institutions.
Exactly.
Like horrible food. Yeah. And they're obese.
The gluten
diabetic.
Is gone. Right. Oh, it's terrible.
And the gluten.
It's terrible. And here's a bottle of Ensure to chase all that with.
Yeah. Sugar and gluten and casein, have negative effects on brain function.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say to this person, but
Petra, yeah.
Yeah.
No. Get another.
We need some context.
Yeah.
And she's going to undertake some you know, natural or professional care. It should
exactly.
be in conjunction with a psychiatrist so that we don't allow her to become really unhinged or, you know, self-destructive or
yes.
you know, get into serious trouble.
Yes. She should seek out a functional medicine doctor.
Right.
Absolutely, Petra.
But and not as an alternative to
not as an alternative, but in conjunction, as
but
you said,
as a,
with a psychiatrist,
you know, in a
in a
complementary way.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
to complement it. And by the way, you know, you can really make a case for there should be a Layla in every psychiatrist's office.
Thank
in America.
You. Yeah, thank you.
Because they'd be like, great, you know, go on this medication, or you know, we'll do talk therapy, but mm-hmm. let's talk your lifestyle, diet, your sleep patterns,
yeah.
your exercise patterns. We would see like 300% better result.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've seen that. So, yeah. Well, Petra, best of luck to you and
yep.
for your care going forward.
Okay.
All right.
That's all the time we have. But there's a good assortment of questions. We have a few more, but we need to replenish our mailbox of questions at drhoffman.net. We're available. We pretty much have hit it. I think we hit 50 out of 52 weeks just about every year.
Just about. Yeah, yeah, we do pretty good.
So it's your resource for questions. Alternatively, you can call 877-726-8255 Saturdays from noon to 2 p.m. or anytime during the week and record a question.
Okay.
Thanks
everybody.
Us.
Yes.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news, and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mutin, registered dietitian nutritionist. I maintain a private practice and see patients regularly. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone and telehealth consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information and to set up an appointment. Call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.